You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn, Opelika, sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Oh, on this Tuesday, May 26, 2026, this is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm Christian Griffin here with you in the studio. I hope you and yours had a fantastic Memorial Day and a Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully dodged enough of the raindrops to make it a really, really nice time, man. We appreciate you for being here with us on this shortened week, but my goodness, a very, very busy week. It's going to be absolutely incredible. You got us all week here on ESPN 106.7. Again, Christian Griffin and Tripp Upton here with you in the studio. My man, happy Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully everything was good on your end. And most importantly, happy regional week. I mean, this is basically Christmas week for me. People say March Madness is there, and I do agree. But man, college baseball regionals, college baseball super regionals in Omaha, this is the best time of year in my opinion.
This is your Super Bowl.
Very much so.
There we go. Happy Tuesday, happy Memorial Day weekend. You know, my weekend was great. Parents came down to Auburn to visit on Sunday, just kind of look at kind of what the future is looking like there, especially in the living situation. but it was good to see them, get some lunch, and then kind of relax, kind of watch baseball as much as I could with all the rain delays in Hoover, but it was a good weekend. How about yourself?
Man, it was fantastic. We went back to the Peach State for the weekend, got to go see the ladies' family, which was nice, and be able to spend some time with them. Got to catch up with some other family and friends that were in town as well. And so really a fun weekend and excited that we had that. Excited to be back, though, however, because, again, we mentioned it, a very, very busy week, as everybody knows. Again, happy regional week, man. We're going to dive into a whole lot of Auburn baseball here to get the show started. Diving into the number 4 overall seed in the tournament, the Auburn Tigers. What? I thought they were supposed to be like the 7th seed. I thought they were supposed to be the 8th seed. I didn't even think they were supposed to be a regional team, Trib.
Yeah, I honestly think it's just the committee overvaluing strength of schedule and putting a mediocre Auburn team in. It's insane.
I mean, it's really, really frustrating when you look at it. No, we're going to dive into the full body of work and how it is rewarded for Butch Thompson and the Auburn Tigers. We're going to take a look back at the regular season, the RPI, strength of schedule, the non-conference strength of schedule, as well as what Auburn had to play, the gauntlet that they chose to play in the non-con, and then going into the Southeastern Conference weekends that were just brutal, up and down every single one of them. We'll also take a look outside of what happened last week and how Auburn didn't necessarily need any help to be a lock, and I don't even mean that to say a lock for a top 8 seed, but to get that top 4 spot. But there were some things that happened elsewhere that may have helped Auburn in that sort of conversation. We're going to dive into the Auburn Regional Bracket, which is going to be a whole lot of fun. We'll be able to preview that all week long, be able to talk about the three other teams. We're going to have our deep dives into those three teams. We'll do a weekly update here in just a minute. But again, we are very, very excited for what is to come this week, because we've got some really, really cool stuff, some really unique stuff that we've been punching at for quite some time. And so really, really excited to have those opportunities. We're also going to look elsewhere in the bracket, as there are plenty of teams from the state of Alabama that are in the field of 64. There are a plethora of teams from the Southeastern Conference. And using our geographical local education that Alex Golish has talked about in terms of the 250-mile radius that he wants to dominate for Auburn football. How many of those teams are in the baseball postseason? You will not believe the overall number. We'll also talk about really, really tough the regionals that are set right now, and then some exciting future super regionals in there as well. We have two special guests joining us on the show today. We have Lindsey Crosby of Braves Today and the Locked On Braves postcast being able to dive into this Auburn regional. Also, maybe his pick for a couple of upsets and maybe some two seeds that can make a little bit of noise. And then we'll work our way into football in hour number two, before getting to Jacob Hillman, usually our Monday 3:30 guest, but obviously no show yesterday. We will have him on to recap Auburn baseball, talk some Auburn golf, talk all things Auburn athletics, and so should be really, really excited for what's to come today and throughout the week.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I'm also excited. I don't know if you mentioned, was looking at the said projections as we were joking about earlier. We're going to take a look at them and just show our point of why they don't matter and how inaccurate they are, as well as some football talk with Byron Brown making some waves on a quote this morning, a new commit to Auburn football. We'll mention that in the second hour. But if you want to be a part of the conversation, go ahead and call in 334-321-1390 to join in and talk on the show. The phone lines will be open the first 30 minutes of each hour as we have our guests at the 2:30 and 3:30 spots. No text box, as I don't even think we've mentioned it 6 minutes into the show. No Jacob Gones this week. He is sitting by the pool, relaxing in the Caribbean sun.
Yeah, a lot of the water in his hand. Wallet's not being used for anything whatsoever.
No, because it's all-inclusive, obviously.
Right, right. No need for anything else. No, Mr. Goins is out of office, out of country here this week. But, again, really excited to have a week to be able to dive into some really, really, really cool stuff, and a week that's going to be a whole lot of fun. Just real quickly diving into what the week is going to look like. Again, today we've given you the rundown, a lot of reactions, a lot of breakdown from what we saw over the weekend. Tomorrow is going to be our full bracket selection game, or our selection show. We are going to dive into every single regional and pick our winners, dive into the teams, dive into some two seeds, three seeds that we think could make a little bit of noise in the regionals, and make our predictions for the super regionals. And then on Thursday, it's going to be a full deep dive into the Auburn regional. Again, with every game starting, or a bunch of these games starting early on Friday, it makes it to where you have to push those up just a little bit, because we don't want to give a big preview after Auburn has already played. I know a lot of fans are really, really happy about the noon game at Plainsman Park, since that was what Auburn heavily requested for, but they got overruled. Again, Auburn and Milwaukee playing at noon on Friday. So Thursday will be our deep dive into the Auburn regional, and we have some really, really cool stuff coming your way in terms of a deep dive into all three teams. Mm-hmm. We're going to try and have, and we already have confirmed, and we are continuing to work to have some experts that know those teams more than we do, because they help coach the teams. And so really, really excited for that.
No, yeah, that'll be a good opportunity. And, you know, because it is, so that you, the listener, can be the most informed on your regional, so you can impress your buddies, your coworkers, maybe some ladies or some guys or whoever you need to impress. Or that's our goal, to get you that and make you, so you know what's going on the best.
Yes, so should be, again, a really, really fun week, but we're excited to dive into everything here today. And again, if you have thoughts on anything that happened this weekend, anything you agree with, anything you disagree with, how funny is it that the Auburn-Arkansas game in Hoover means absolutely nothing and nobody really cares about it anymore? If Auburn would have gotten screwed over, then there'd maybe be some harsh feelings, but you're at the point of, yeah, Hoover happened. Auburn got a win over Texas A&M. That was cool. Otherwise, I don't necessarily care what happened. But if you do have thoughts on that and feel strong one way or the other, again, Tripp mentioned it, the phone lines are open for the first 30 minutes of every single hour here on this Tuesday. You can give us a call at 334-321-1390. And the Auburn Regional has been announced about 10 minutes before the selection show on Monday afternoon. Everybody got the notification that the top four seeds were announced, and Auburn's name was one of them. And by no means did we have the obliviousness or the naiveness, isn't a word, but we were not naive enough to think that Auburn was going to be the 1, 2, or 3. You felt like those were not even penciled or not even sharpied in. Those were concreted in by those that carve in stone, I guess.
Yeah.
But that it was UCLA, Georgia Tech, and Georgia. You felt that there was a comfortable feeling on that side of things. And I do think Auburn being that 4 was a little bit surprising, and not in any means of not deserving it, but just based off the conversations that we have had with Baseball America, D1 Baseball, and all of these sites that said that Auburn still had work to do going into the Hoover Regional, and so, or the Hoover SEC Tournament. And so because of that, it was a little bit surprising that Auburn had gotten that love, but it was what we had hoped for. Auburn gets the number 4 overall seed. And like I said, as soon as that was announced on social media, and I'll say it again, the full body of work was rewarded for the Auburn Tigers, and deservingly so.
100% I agree. You know, looking at the teams in front of them, you were not going to pass up a UCLA team that is at least their floor for me, and we'll talk about it more tomorrow. Their floor to me is at least a super regional, looking at their competition, and they can win it all. You're not going to be put over a Georgia Tech team that has the metrics, has played tough competition, and they had split with you and beaten the number 3 team. And Georgia, they didn't have the metrics in their favor as much, looking at some of the RPI and other things, but they had the runs. They passed the eye test for sure. And they swept Auburn, or they beat Auburn 2-1, and that was the difference maker. If Auburn wins that series, maybe you have a conversation of 3 and maybe even 2,
sure,
since you split with Georgia Tech. But I think that Auburn, I think the lowest I expected them was 6. I thought anything lower would have just been a miscarriage of justice, but that number 4 was the peak of what they could be, and it's what they should have been.
Yeah, a lot of people were grinding that conversation of anywhere from 4 to 6. 4, you may have needed a little bit of help. I think 5 was probably the more popular, at least the most popular thoughts for where Auburn was going to be. But then you go and it shows, again, the committee rewards the full body of work, rewards the non-conference RPI, rewards the overall season RPI, the strength of schedule. I mean, it gets thrown by the wayside just because it seems so watered down, because it's talked about so much. But when you look at strength of schedule and RPI usually do not coexist together. Those are not things that, okay, this team, holy cow, they have the number 3 strength of schedule. They're also the number 5 team in the RPI. Those are not things that you usually see. Usually it's, holy cow, this team is the 25th ranked team in the country, yet they've played the toughest schedule in the country, so imagine what it would look like if they played a normal schedule. Auburn is at both of those extremes for both of those conversations. Auburn had the number 1 strength of schedule and had the number 3 RPI. Auburn was the highest essential at-large bid, the way that you look at it, because you had the conference winners of UCLA, the conference winners of Georgia Tech, and the conference winner of Georgia. And then you had Auburn, who was the number 4 overall seed in the tournament. And again, deservingly so, the full body of work. Folks, 44% of Auburn's games that they played in the regular season were against regional hosts. That is absolutely absurd. Almost half of your games were against teams that were listed by the College Baseball Committee as top 16 teams in the country.
Yeah. I mean,
that is absolutely wild when you think about it, and you actually you read all of these numbers. But when you say that 44% of Auburn's games were against teams that are going to be hosting the first round of their tournament, that's absolutely absurd.
100%. And looking at these like top 8 seeds, I mean, you played Georgia Tech, you played Georgia, you played Texas, you played Alabama, and you played Florida. The only one you didn't play is UCLA and UNC out of the top 8. That's just impressive. And I look at this.
So you played 5 of the 8 national seeds, with you being one of them.
That's impressive.
that's stupid.
That's impressive. And looking at it, I'm glad the committee rewarded that instead of looking. I mean, yes, head-to-head does matter. And I think if you were looking at Texas as the team, or Alabama as the team that Auburn was being compared against, maybe, yeah, that I think that should play a factor, because the games on the field matter.
They have to.
But I think that this shows the committee was not comparing them. They were comparing Auburn and UNC. And I think that that is the crux of why, based on Auburn having a good conference championship weekend, UNC having a good one, but then slowing down late that the edge was given to Auburn at that point.
And North Carolina getting run ruled in the ACC championship, I don't think helps their cause. Obviously, it boosts Georgia Tech, but again, Georgia Tech was solidified in there. There were talks, UCLA, what they had to do in their conference tournament just to make the championship, much less to win the whole thing. Everybody's like, this team is the clutchest team in the country, and it's like, or they're having to walk off teams that they should not have to walk off in their conference tournaments that are fighting for their postseason lives, and obviously that's an asterisk for the lesser of the teams. But there were talks of if UCLA lost, they put Georgia Tech as the number one overall seed, and I think that would be worthy of a conversation. But North Carolina getting run ruled in the ACC championship, as well as, again, just that full body of work, really, really pointed all of the arrows in terms of being in favor of the Auburn Tigers. And I think that definitely helped. And now you get to look towards, again, not only hosting a regional, but that's when you get to now have your thoughts on what's paired up or who's paired up with Auburn. And my goodness, is that Lincoln regional absolutely abysmal when you're looking at those 1, 2, and 3 seeds?
Yeah, I mean, Nebraska, a team that is competitive in the Big Ten, one of the few that is, but they came to Plainsman Park. They won game one. Auburn rolled from there. But that's going to be an interesting matchup to see kind of, hey, what if this team comes to Plainsman Park, assuming Auburn gets through the regional. You know, that's not set in stone. We'll talk about that more. But then you look at Ole Miss. I think that you knew that there was going to, because of the amount of SEC host sites, there was going to be one SEC team in whatever region you played. Ole Miss is a team that they can get hot. We've seen it before. They won a national championship as one of the last teams in a couple years ago. You know, don't let the Rebs get hot, as they sang for a reason. And that's going to be a good one. Arizona State, a traditional power as well in that region. So, I mean, there's three power conference teams that are going to be interesting to look at for sure.
Looking at the Lincoln Regional, according to Pair Ratings, who I've been a pretty big fan of since their existence, been following them for quite some time. They love the baseball metrics, and it makes it really, really easy to look at. They posted their win probabilities to win each regional. When you're looking at Auburn's, they gave Auburn a 75.8% chance of winning. UCF, a 11.2. NC State actually is a 3 seed. They gave them a higher chance at 12.7, Milwaukee at 0.3. But then you're looking at the Nebraska, the Lincoln Regional. There are 3 teams that have a 20% chance or higher of winning that regional. No other conference or no other regional can say that. And so you're looking at just a powerhouse. Nebraska hosting the regional only with a 47% chance of winning. Ole Miss at 30.6, and Arizona State right around 22%.
I think I was looking at those pair ratings the other day. Nebraska, the lowest host percent chance to win their regional.
That is correct. Kansas is right in front of them at 49.8. Arkansas with a 38% chance of going there. We're going to dive into that as the week goes on and as the show goes on here on the other side of the break. Oregon at 56%. Southern Miss at 57%, and then it works its way with Florida State and Texas A&M. But Auburn, according to Pair Rankings, a 76% chance to win the regional. They also don't hate their idea of making it to the super regional, but that's a conversation for another day. We'll take our first break here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. When we come back, we'll look elsewhere in the bracket, as there are plenty of teams from the state of Alabama that made the field of 64. How many teams from the SEC made it, and what percentage of the bracket is within a 250-mile radius of the Auburn Tigers? Also, some really tough regionals, continuing that conversation, and a possible look towards some other supers. We dive into that before we get Lindsey Crosby on the phone lines to dive into it a little bit more. We're just underway here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
War Eagle, this is Auburn baseball coach Butch Thompson, and you're on the line in Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
From revolution to rockets, from dusty frontiers to city skylines, these are the moments that shaped America. This is the American Minute, presented by Bucks Island, January 1848. At a sawmill in Northern California, a carpenter named James Marshall noticed something shining in the water, gold. News spread slowly at first, then all at once. Within months, thousands of hopeful prospectors poured into California. They came by wagon, by ship, and even on foot. They were called the 49ers. Boomtowns sprang up overnight, Some struck it rich. Most did not. But the rush transformed California and accelerated America's expansion westward. One more moment that shaped the country we call home. This American Minute is presented by Bucks Island, family-owned and operated, serving boaters since 1948, online at bucksisland.com.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us and taking the time to join us on this overcast. I don't know if it's raining anymore. I'm looking out at the windshields. I don't see any rain. I'm sure it's raining somewhere in Auburn because it always is or always has over the last week or so. Again, Hoover Week, nothing better than bringing every single bit of rain. I think I just heard thunder in the distance as well. Magical. Right here. Again, you weren't here last summer. Holy cow.
No,
every single day between 2 and 4. It wouldn't rain at 1:58, but we would start the intro and there would be rain, and it would rain from 2 o'clock to 2:20 every single day over last summer. It was almost like it felt like Florida, where it was just a pop up. There was just a hose sitting outside that somebody stuck their thumb over and just put it over our window to make it look like it was raining because it was almost every single day. But regardless, we appreciate everybody for being here with us. Diving into the Auburn Regional, talked a little bit about those three teams and the percentages for Auburn to win their region according to pair ratings. But let's take a look outside of just Auburn, because you don't have to go very far. Just the state of Alabama, my goodness, has their name just polka dotted all over the field of 64. Five teams from the state of Alabama are in the field of 64. You have Auburn, you have Alabama, you have Jacksonville State, you have Troy, and Alabama State. That is the most of any state, and my goodness. You talk about RPI, you talk about non-conference strength of schedule, you talk about why the midweeks are so hard for these teams, especially for teams like Auburn and Alabama, and then the ability for Jacksonville State and Troy to get wins over teams like that. It's deservingly so, but shows how good the competition is in the States and shows why Butch Thompson and so many of these other coaches are prioritizing keeping these games in state because of the talent that's there.
Yeah, when I was still in school and I got to do with one of my classes, go cover the, I think it was Auburn Jacksonville State from 2 years ago, either a year or two ago. And basically, I got to sit in the press conference and I got to ask Butch, I said, hey, you know, you play a lot of these in-state games. You kind of prioritize that, especially with these mid, quote unquote, mid-major programs. Like, why? And it was like to grow the game. And, you know, a lot of these guys are friends. They played on the same AAU teams, they played on the same travel ball teams, they played against each other in high school.
Yeah.
And now they're at different, you know, it grows the game and like gives spotlight to these programs. And I think that you see programs like Jacksonville State, they've taken advantage of that. A former, you know, you look at them as an FCS power for a while, jump up. I mean, and they were obviously D1 the whole time, but now as CUSA, they won that conference with ease, and they are a team that I think we'll talk about it more tomorrow. I think they are live to win that regional. I mean, look at I celebrated joyously when they didn't get an Auburn regional.
I think everybody did. When you didn't see when you didn't see Auburn and Florida State paired up, because my goodness, anytime they can put those two teams, them or Oregon State, I feel like it's just whenever they can put those two teams together, they will find a way. But I think the quick second was not seeing Jacksonville State, and I think a very, very quick third, because we were talking about it, as was our good buddy Jack, about the stress of, holy cow, why is A&M's name waiting so long? Why is Mississippi State's name waiting so long to be called? I was fully expecting a 4-13 Auburn. I was not expecting Auburn and Texas A&M, but I got to the point of, oh man, this is going to be Auburn and Mississippi State, isn't it? This is just what it's bound to be. Thankfully, Auburn found their way out of that, kind of being sandwiched in between the two. So very, very excited, yes, on that side of things to not have to see Jacksonville State, as was Alabama. But we mentioned it, five teams from the state of Alabama are in the field of 64. There are 12 teams in the Southeastern Conference, and holy cow, if you're going, you look at any of the postseason odds in terms of odds to win, odds to make it to Omaha, odds to win the College World Series, the SEC names are at the top. Obviously, UCLA and Georgia Tech are right there, but then you work your way, and even teams like Arkansas are really in that conversation. Teams like Florida, just because of how well they've been playing, are really, really high up there, not only to make it to Omaha, but to make a lot of noise and possibly dogpile. I think the SEC, not that I have to say this as if it's a surprise to anybody, the SEC is not going anywhere. Yeah, we all know that. But this is one of the most dominant leagues that we've ever seen. But this may be one of the more dominant years in terms of dominant leagues when you're looking at the Southeastern Conference as a whole.
Yeah, I'm looking through the regionals right now. There's only right now there's only like three or four regionals that don't have an SEC team in them. Out of 16, 75% of them have at least one SEC team in there.
In every single one, whether that was a one seed or a two seed, or more importantly, even those three seeds, every single one where the SEC team has to go on the road, they know exactly who they are.
Yeah.
Arkansas tweeted about it and said, you know, doesn't matter if it's home, doesn't matter if it's away. I guarantee you, nobody wanted to see Arkansas. Nobody wants to see Ole Miss. Nobody wants to see even a Kentucky team that is quietly marching along. The SEC is going to make a whole lot of noise, not only in the regionals, but the super regionals and Omaha as well, if they don't all beat up on each other, which is a lot of where these super regional pairings might work their way out to. And we are doing show prep before the music kicks us out of here. And we do want to have a little bit of a football conversation, which we will in hour number two. But we were diving into Auburn's recruiting with Alex Golish. And it took me back to his very first press conference where he said, we want to dominate 250 miles around Auburn, and that is what we want to prioritize in terms of high school recruiting. Well, he's done that, obviously, and we'll dive into that. But it made me wonder what percentage of the bracket was within a 250-mile radius of Auburn. It is 23.8%. Almost 25% of the field is within 250 miles of Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, 15 teams. We were stretching from USC upstate in South Carolina, Tennessee and Knoxville, all the way down to Tallahassee and Hattiesburg with Southern Miss and Florida State. I mean, the South is where baseball comes and is the best sport, one of the best sports in the country. But, I mean, that's just impressive.
Let's see what this guy thinks of it. Lindsey Crosby, Braves Today, Locked On Braves Postcast and The Barn. He joins us on the phone lines coming up next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us. And going to break, we talked about the rain. And during the break, of course, it hit right there between 2 and 2:30. It will rain here over the summer during our show. And what a fun first half hour it's been, man, diving into the Auburn Regional, diving into elsewhere in the bracket. And I had this one little thought going on in my head just driving back to Alabama here this morning, talking about college baseball being really rad. And I figured what better way than to bring this guy on who has the hat of college baseball is rad. Lindsey Crosby of Braves Today, the Locked On Braves postcast, and you know him from The Barn as well. My man, hopefully all is well in your world. I know your content is flying right now, and welcome to Christmas week with regionals finally being here.
Oh my gosh, this is probably the best week of the year. I say that, I feel like, whenever we get to opening day for both, but this is great because MLB is in full swing. College baseball is in their postseason. Every game matters. The matchups are great. And a lot of them are new matchups that we've not seen before, and that's tons of fun.
Well, I mean, as long as it's not covering content of the Braves in the City Connect jerseys, then I think you're doing okay.
Listen, I like those City Connect jerseys, the blue ones. I like the blues because I like how Atlanta is just finding things to relate to their previous eras, and they're not making the wacky off-the-wall, you know, purples and Philly's weird blue and yellow thing. Like, I respect that they're trying to just, like, hey, we're just going to do as close as we can to make it a throwback to the 80s uniforms.
They just,
I love that.
Just can't find a way to win in them. And, man, that's the big frustrating thing.
That is the hard part, yes. Your stat was very well appreciated during on Saturday when I was doing live post.
I don't know if well appreciated is the way to go. It was hurt.
I appreciated you gave it to me, yeah.
Well, man, let's dive into this thing. With Auburn getting the number 4 overall seed in the college baseball and just the entire bracket, and was that something surprising to you? I know the folks in Auburn, we were all sitting there saying, man, these metrics all point towards Auburn, the sites of Baseball America and the D1 baseballs of the world that were saying that Auburn's going to be the 6th seed or the 7th seed or even the 8th seed. We were telling everybody not to trust those. Were you surprised at all that Auburn jumped North Carolina even to get to that top 4? Or do you feel like, again, the entire body of work was well-deserved and well-paid off by the committee for what Auburn was able to do?
When you look at the entire body of work, you really touched on it there. You know, Auburn had the hardest strength of schedule in the country. They had the second best RPI out of conference in the country, the 12th overall strength of schedule out of country. Yes, North Carolina may have finished strong. They went 8-2 in their last 10 games. You know, they really did finish strong there, but Auburn just consistently was doing it the entire year. And that has to mean something, or else you can't say, hey, we're going to care about RPI if you don't take things like that into account when you make the bracket.
And it's something that we talked about in the first half hour of man, you don't see these two things correlate and almost complement each other in a conversation. Usually it's a comma but, not a comma and. But when you're looking at this Auburn team, it's, man, they had the number 3 RPI and the number 1 strength of schedule. It's not one of those things of, yeah, they didn't do this and this, but they had the number 1 strength of schedule, so they need to be rewarded. You had this almost doubled down in terms of what the Tigers were able to do, and you mentioned it not only in the SEC, but the teams that they chose to go out and play, whether that's in-state with 5 teams from the state of Alabama making the field of 64, or Auburn, as the stat we mentioned, 44% of their games were against regional hosts in the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, they absolutely, there are, I would argue they are the most tested team in this entire field. And the big thing to me is, yes, all of the quad one stuff is great. We talk about the non-conference quad one and quad two and everything, but Auburn's quad three and quad four, one, they only had 12 games in quads 3 or 4, but two, they didn't lose any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's one thing to challenge yourself with your schedule and play a lot of really hard teams, especially when you can hold your own and you can do that, right? But it's another thing to win every single one of the games you were supposed to win. And, you know, Auburn didn't have a ton of tough losses outside of, like, they had one loss outside of quad one. They were 9-1 in quad two. Believe it or not, the Jacksonville State games, those actually are both quad one games because of how good Jacksonville State was this year. So, I mean, it's at a certain point, yes, they challenged themselves. Yes, they played a hard schedule and they did well against it, but they also handled their business. And I don't think there's anybody else in the field who can say things like that, because they all got in there and they dropped the quad three game, they dropped the quad four game. And, you know, something North Carolina probably regrets, that quad three loss they have. They dropped the game to Louisville. They got shut out 2-0 at home. That was the difference for them, probably, was the fact they had losses in quads 3 and 4 and how many games they had back there.
We're talking with Lindsey Crosby of Braves Today, Locked On Braves podcast, and The Barn. And Lindsey, I wanted to ask kind of your thoughts on Auburn's regional with a familiar foe in NC State, UCF, and the UW Milwaukee Panthers. What are your immediate thoughts on it?
When you look at this, speaking of RPI, we just talked about this, this is the regional with the highest average RPI at 82. And what's amazing there is Auburn has a top 3 RPI, and this regional still has the highest RPI of all 16 at 82. I do feel like it's a better draw than a lot of other teams got.
Sure.
I think about some of the ones that I've seen. Oregon State, Washington State, Yale seems like a nightmare regional out there in Eugene. Just a way to tough games, tough matchups. Florida, Miami, and Troy all in the same regional in Gainesville. It's not a bad draw. That being said, The thing that I worry about is I think UCF maybe goes under the radar a little bit because of their move in conferences. Everybody still thinks of them as the old conference and not the new conference.
Sure.
Plus the fact that NC State is playing for a coach that has already announced his retirement.
Yeah.
They were underwhelming. I argued that maybe they should not even have been in the field or have been a four seed or anything like that. But they're playing for a coach who's already announced that this tournament is his last and he's done. And that's a dangerous situation because baseball can be fluky and sometimes emotions can carry you farther than you would imagine. And that's exactly the kind of thing that can fuel a team to make a run. So it's not a cakewalk for Auburn, but it could have been a lot tougher, relatively speaking.
Hey, I mean, I know it, you know it, covering these games and playing in them. Desperation goes a really long way, especially in the game of baseball, especially once confidence works its way into the lineup because of how contagious hitting is and being able to stack that momentum with zeros put up in the top or the bottom half of innings. So, again, definitely scary on that side of things just in terms of UCF. And they were having a pool party during the selection show. And so, I mean, you talk about the confidence and playing loose, definitely flying under the radar. Yeah, now in the Big 12. You flip over to obviously what will be a conversation we hopefully have a little bit more seriously a week from now, but looking at the Lincoln Regional, which arguably may be the toughest one out of all 16 with Nebraska, Ole Miss, and Arizona State as the three seed. Lincoln, according to Pair Rankings, was the only regional that had three teams above 20% odds to win that individual region. Talk to us about if Nebraska's making their way back to the Plains or if we're possibly going to see an SEC rival, or we're going to see a new team from the Big 12 make their way to Plainsman Park, hopefully in the next week or so.
Yeah, that's the hard part about this regional is I feel like oftentimes when you get into the postseason and you get to these matchups, one of the things that helps when you're a power conference team like Auburn is you have the depth of being a power conference team. We talk a lot about the way that Auburn has won series this year, and it's been you're saving your arms. You're throwing two or three guys per game.
Sure.
They're burning through arms. By the time you get to game three, it's a blowout win for Auburn. That's a strategy that's harder to replicate against a power conference team like a Nebraska.
That's a good point.
Like an Ole Miss. Now, I will say, the thing about Nebraska, you do have experience against them, obviously, bringing them into the park this year. You do know Ole Miss and who they are as a team. Just historically, although you didn't play them this year,
sure.
Arizona State, you don't know a lot about, but I've got some friends who went to Arizona State and would love these bragging rights. So either way, it's going to be really compelling if we get there. We're not going to get ahead of ourselves. But I do feel like that's not as straightforward of a matchup as you would hope because, to your point, virtually anybody can come out of that regional.
Right.
And so it's you can't do a bunch of advanced preparation. And it's different styles of play for all three teams. And so you don't really know how well you're going to match up until you actually get there at the end of the weekend.
We got our guy Lindsey Crosby of Braves Today, the Locked On Braves postcast, and you know him from the barn as well. And Lindsey, we mentioned the five teams from the state of Alabama that are in the field, Auburn, Bama, Jacksonville State, Troy, and Alabama State, 12 teams from the SEC, and 23.8% of the bracket is within a 250-mile radius of the Auburn Tigers, using the Alex Golish recruiting metric to get that number. But, man, you talk about just the baseball in the South, the Southeastern Conference. Yes, but when you dive into A, college baseball, but B, college baseball in the South, when you just look at the conference, I think that is when you get punished because there is absolutely incredible baseball regardless of where you're looking. Looking elsewhere, outside of Auburn and Lincoln, any two seeds that are possibly making a little bit of noise, that are maybe flashing their flashlight at you, telling you to pick them to upset the host in the first round?
You know, I can't help but get over the Morgantown Regional, and you look at, there's West Virginia, there's Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
I know that that's not necessarily, Wake Forest is not a team that you think of as a powerhouse team, but offensively they've been pretty good at times. I also look at Tallahassee. Coastal Carolina is never a team that you can count out. They're not the same team that they were last year. Auburn saw what they were last year, so that's another team that kind of hits my mind. And then I do think that Oklahoma is going to be a really good test for Georgia Tech. I'm not sold on Oklahoma, you know, and I'm not going to pick them to win that. But I do think whenever you can get a team like that into that ballpark, that tiny little bandbox of a ballpark that they have, and they have an opportunity to go out there and put up some runs. This is a team that, you know, that hung 15 runs on Arkansas. They hung 12 runs on Texas A&M. You know, they've played some good teams. They've scored a lot of runs. And when their pitching's on, which has been not as often, but when their pitching's on, they can keep guys off the board. So that, if Oklahoma and Georgia Tech square off, that could be a 15 to 12 game. And that's just going to be a ton of fun to watch, if nothing else.
When diving into, again, just a score like that, diving back into the Auburn side of things, again, Auburn's been a little bit of that feast or famine offense, but they have relied on their pitching staff, which is, I mean, statistically up and down the board, the number one team, the number one staff in the country in terms of just ERA, in terms of WHIP and all of the other metrics. Do you see any of that needing to change? And obviously the simple answer is, yeah, well, Auburn needs to put up more runs every single game. But just in terms of offense or defense, do you see the postseason being more won or lost on the mound? Or do you see it being a little bit more high scoring just because of how good a lot of these offenses are throughout all of college baseball now?
Typically for me, I think in the postseason, that's where the pitching's more important. Simply because, one, the absence of it means you don't have a shot. But two, when everything gets better in the postseason, right? The pitching's better, the hitting's better. But I think we've seen, for the most part, good pitching, I feel like, will beat good hitting more often than not.
Sure.
And so if your pitching's there, it gives you more of a margin of error to figure out the offense. A lot of people kind of word that the other way around. They say, like, you have to be able to get the big hit in the clutch moments. I think the goal for Auburn is going to be lean on your pitching, even if your offense isn't doing that well, to keep the game close, so that you can find a player who can give you a swing that can change a game.
Nothing,
that's going to be kind of the game plan if Auburn can't be more consistent offensively.
Nothing like Lindsey Crosby telling us that the defense for Auburn is what they need to rely on, and the offense is what needs to score touchdowns or score points. I mean, it feels like we can just carry this over from every single sport, and that's the way that you need to go.
Yeah, I think, one, I'm a pitching guy. Like, I've always been a fan of pitching, and I've been impressed with what Auburn's been able to do on the mound. But they're going to have to keep some of these opposing offenses at bay so that their bats can figure it out. And I think a lot of what Auburn's done at the plate this year, we've seen them. I feel like they haven't had a ton of the big run totals in games one. They've had them in games two and three when they've worn down your pitching. And it works a little bit differently in a regional when you face different teams every time. So the pitching's going to have to be there to keep Auburn in these games so that the offense can figure it out. And I'm confident they will. They've got the pieces. It's just a matter of getting there.
We're talking with Lindsey Crosby. And Lindsey, you do so much great work for the Atlanta Braves. To change gears a little bit, this a team that Christian and I root for, obviously, and we're tapped into just kind of, as they are one of the, if not the best team in baseball, kind of what's the thoughts on year one with Walt Weiss at the helm? Just kind of overall thoughts for people that may not be tapped in for what's going on in Truist Park.
One of the most common complaints about Walt Weiss when he was hired was that it was just bringing back somebody else who worked for Brian Snitker, and it was more the same. And Walt Weiss could not be different from Brian Snitker. Yeah. He's been very aggressive with his managerial decisions, in a good way, but very aggressive, whether it's a quick hook on a starting pitcher when things get a little hairy. He's pulled guys out in the fifth inning before because there was two runners on base. The tying run was coming to the plate. He'd go to a high leverage reliever in the fifth or sixth inning to get out of that jam, right? He wouldn't go with, all right, we're saving this guy for the eighth, this guy for the ninth. Mm-hmm. He'd go with a high leverage reliever at the highest leverage moment of the game. Being aggressive with his pinch hit decisions, being aggressive with pinch running. When in doubt, Walt Weiss's move has been push the chips in to go for a win. And more often than not, it's worked. And so what that's done for them is they've built a massive lead, so that right now, while the offense is a little bit slower, some guys are slumping, they're waiting on Drake Baldwin to get back from the injured list, they have the largest divisional lead in baseball. And the good news is, if you are in the lead, sole possession of first place on June 1st, you are 59% likely to win your division. We're coming up on June 1st, and mathematically it is virtually impossible for any team in the East to catch the Braves right now. And so they are in position to win because Walt Weiss has aggressively pushed for wins, and it's worked more often than it's not.
And I think that's the most relieving thing, watching those games of, okay, it's not just some Tuesday game in early May. This is not just some game on a Friday that's not nationally televised on a Thursday afternoon, realizing that every win is as important as the other one. And the Braves in action tonight at Fenway. You're not in Boston, my friend, are you?
I am not in Boston, no. Had some work stuff to do at home, so did not go to Boston. I'm here in Auburn. We'll have a live postcast after the game from my house, from the home studio we have here, but not in Boston.
I mean, there could be worse problems in the world. There could be worse places to do a Locked On Braves postcast. Well, my friend, we appreciate your time. I know you got to get out of here. Lindsey Crosby, of Locked On Braves postcast of Braves Today, and again, a big member of the Barn as well. I know you are a very, very busy man with the MLB, and obviously Auburn baseball continuing to heat up with the postseason as well. Let everybody know what they need to do, where they need to be subscribed, where they need to go to check out all of your action each and every day.
I'm on social media at Crosby Baseball. You can find the Braves content, BravesToday.com and the Braves Today podcast, as well as Locked On Sports Atlanta and Locked On Braves. After every single Atlanta Braves game, we go live. Also, the Auburn content, thebarnauburn.com, and the Barn Baseball Show. We have a massive one coming out tomorrow with current players, coaches, a lot of people coming on, about an hour worth of talk all about the regional coming up.
There you go. Lindsey, we appreciate your time. As always, he's got Big Baseball Guy in his bio, and so, I mean, it has to work out that way. We appreciate your time. We're looking forward to getting you back here in the studio as well, but regardless, looking forward to catching up soon, and we'll talk again here real quick.
Very nice to talk to you next week to preview a Super Regional.
Yes, sir. Let's do it. Lindsey Crosby, again, you know him from just about everything, but a big member of the Barn, Auburn, with Braves Today, the Locked On Braves postcast, gives you everything you need to know in terms of Auburn baseball, in terms of everything Braves as well. Again, he's got Big Baseball Guy in his his X bio, and so he wears the baseball hat that says college baseball is rad, and I could not agree more. It feels like Christmas this time of year with the regionals getting started, and yeah, we'll happily have him on next week to preview a Super Regional if things work out that way. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and very, very quickly wrap up hour number one, a little bit of a teaser of what's to come in hour number two and why you need to be connected to your phone lines. We'll tell you about that when we return.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the radio.
Look at that. The intro music, the return music, playing with the outro music. What better way to do it? Just means we had a great conversation with Lindsey Crosby with Braves Today, the Locked On Braves postcast, and a big member of the Barn Auburn as well. We mentioned going to break to keep your phones on you. We may have to wait to start hour number two, but we have our hands on some tickets that may be pretty popular, that may be pretty important inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. Football like you haven't seen it before. We will tell you about that to get hour number two started and how you can win them by dialing hour number. All of that coming up here in hour number two.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. It is the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for spending a little time here on this Tuesday afternoon to be with us on ESPN 106.7. Whether you've taken the entire week off on the short week or just working your way back to the office, man, I feel like the weekend wasn't long enough, but if that's the biggest complaint and the ability to celebrate Memorial Day, if that's the biggest complaint, then it seems like it was a pretty dang good weekend. That and the rain that has kind of continued throughout all of the week and is supposed to continue what feels like until you never know when it's going to stop. But we appreciate everybody for being here with us. Whether it was for all of hour number one, whether you're just now tuned in, regardless, we appreciate it. But if you did miss hour number one, man, we dove into all things Auburn baseball and college baseball as as the regionals have been announced, Auburn gets the number 4 overall seed. We talked about their full body of work being rewarded. We took a look back towards their RPI, their strength of schedule, and the non-conference strength of schedule, and how those three things, especially the RPI and the strength of schedule, do not usually go with one another. They do not work as both complements, but in terms of Auburn in this 2026 season, they do, because every single arrow points towards Auburn and their pitching staff and what they're able to do offensively as well. We talked about their regional teams and a brief breakdown on that. We talked about how they were able to lock up the number 4 overall seed. We also took a look elsewhere in the bracket within the state of Alabama, with 5 teams in the state representing the field of 64: Auburn, Bama, Jacksonville State, Troy, and Alabama State. We also mentioned the 12 teams from the SEC and how the entire 64 team brackets, how 24% of that comes from a 250 mile radius around Auburn. And so you talk about baseball, and you talk about baseball in the South. We also had Lindsey Crosby of Braves Today, Locked On the Braves, or the Locked On Braves postcast, and a big member of the Barn as well. He joined us on the phone lines to break down everything that we talked about in terms of Auburn's regional and how he says it is relatively tough, yet Auburn has played a very tough schedule, and so it is nothing new. They're very battle-tested, and he loves where Auburn is at and where they could be this time next week. All of that was in hour number one. If you missed any of it, you can check it out at our podcast center at ESPNAU.com.
And in hour number two, we're going to talk to Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, get his thoughts about Auburn's regional placement, how they did in Hoover, and among other things. We're going to talk a little bit of football. Before that, though, looking at what Byron Brown had to say about USF transfers and how they're ready to win, which is awesome to hear. I feel like we've been hearing that we're close to winning, but now they're ready.
Is that the word that's been thrown around?
Some might say.
Yeah.
Some might say. And then we're also going to talk and look back at the projections we looked at last week from Baseball America and D1 Baseball, and just show that, hey, projections don't actually matter as much as people think
what?
They do. What?
No way.
But and all that in hour number two, but we have something, a really interesting opportunity we have for you guys today right here, Christian.
Yeah, throughout the week. Again, on Tuesday, June 9th, Auburn becomes host to a different kind of football. You could call it football. The Auburn Network is giving away tickets to see the defending World Cup champions Argentina as they take on Iceland inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. There will be opportunities to win tickets on both on the drive and as well on the line. So from 2 to 4 and from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN 106.7. A pair of tickets will be given away on both shows every single day, today through Friday. Again, so make sure to tune in through all 4 hours here on ESPN 106.7 to get a chance to see the action in person. Again, Argentina takes on Iceland on the path to the 2026 World Cup right here in Auburn inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. Kickoff time set for 7:30. Again, so don't miss your chance to see this international soccer clash. And the way that we do it here on the line is we have a code word. And whenever we hear the code word, first person to call in, we'll get your phone number, we'll get your name, we'll get your email over the break. and you're going to be the winner of two tickets to go see Argentina and Iceland. And so this is not the word right now. It will be later on in the show. But the next time that you hear us bring up the World Series, that will be the code word. When we say that, the first caller that calls in will get tickets to go see Argentina and Iceland. So should be really, really fun. Not exactly sure how the drive is going to do it. But again, that is going to be every single day. It will be a different code word on our show every single day. But really excited to be able to give that opportunity. And a big thanks to, again, the Auburn Network and the Auburn Sports Network, Auburn University as well, for making all of this happen for our wonderful listeners. And so we greatly, greatly appreciate that. But partner, let's dive into it. We mentioned it a lot yesterday. And again, the phone lines are open if you would like to be a part of the regular conversation as well at 334-321-1390. But we talked a lot about it last week and Friday especially on why the regional rankings and the projections really don't mean a whole lot. And we talked about it all the way going back to college basketball season in terms of the Joe Lunardis of the world and how Lunardi is the most popular bracketologist. Yet when you go and you look at the field of like 168 quoted bracketologists, he finished in like the 120th in terms of just overall projections. And so it was what Auburn was kind of telling all of their fans over the past week or so, and we pitched in as well about how Auburn scheduled from being the seventh seed or the eighth seed will not be the case. It will not happen because of everything that is in favor of the Auburn Tigers. Obviously, Auburn gets the number four seed. And it goes back to show how it's almost a little bit comical, the stress that these sites put on some of their fans, because, my goodness, I don't know if these projections could have been a lot more wrong than they were.
Yeah, I mean, just taking a look first at Baseball America, the link is on the rundown, Christian, Inside Baseball, is updated to the 25th, so that'll be really nice to talk about. Looking at it, they had Liberty, Kentucky, going to Westwood with UCLA. They did get St. Mary's right. I'll give them credit where credit is due, but neither of those teams are going there. They had UCF going to Georgia Tech. They did get Oklahoma right. They had UTSA in the field instead of NC State. The Roadrunners, I believe, were the first team out, or maybe snuck into the... Actually, no. They were... In regardless, it was Mercer that got left, which I think is ridiculous, by the way.
Yeah, we haven't talked a whole lot about the Bears being, what, the 28th team in the RPI that's not going to have a chance in the postseason?
Yeah, just because they lost in the conference championship. And again, you got to weigh it evenly. Yeah, but I think that was a miscarriage of justice right there. I didn't like that for a chance to compete for the championship. But they had Mercer in. They did get Tennessee going to UNC, right? But then they had Auburn at the sixth seed with Miami, Northern Illinois, and Alabama State. Christian, how many of those teams in that region, the three, are coming to Auburn?
I'm not great at math, but of those three, I don't see a familiar name.
And looking at the teams slotted at that number four overall line, how many of those teams are at that number four seed line?
Again, I'm not very good at math, but of those three teams, I in fact do not see a singular name. You could double down on Auburn's pairing for the regional as well, or the super regional.
A team that they have that was slotted at 11 and even 12 coming into the weekend. Oh, by the way, they are a 9, and Texas A&M, the team that they thought would be the 9, was actually the 11. So, I mean, looking at it, they got some they got Ole Miss going to Nebraska, right, at the number 13.
Congrats. There it is.
Yay.
That's what you can hang your hat on. There's the applause right there.
Yeah, so just looking at it, at least Baseball America, they have some things right, but then you have Starkville they start Mississippi State at 16, then they end up at like 14? They're a little bit higher.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean
Mississippi State paired up with Georgia.
Yeah, no, instead they had the team that actually finished 16 at 14, and they had Oregon, who was 11 or 12 at 15. They did get Oregon State right and Washington State right, just switch out UC Santa Barbara for Yale. But I mean, just looking at these, that's just not, at least Baseball America, I'd give that like a D in terms of what it looked like.
In terms of accuracy of their, their projections.
They got some right, and we gave them credit where credit is due. They usually had one or two a team right, even if it was in the wrong spot. They had one team at least for a lot of them, but for Auburn, they get an F.
We'll give them credit because they did get UCLA, Georgia Tech, and Georgia right. And so the three easiest ones to get right, they did in fact nail those. Because sometimes it's hard to just do the easy things right. And so we'll give credit where it's due on that. Real quickly, looking at D1 baseball, again, it's not a whole lot better. I would say it's maybe a tiny bit more accurate, but I would be few and far between to say that it was as accurate. They also had Auburn as a 7 going to paired up with Hattiesburg and Southern Miss as the 10 seed, but they had Alabama and Texas in front of Auburn as well. They also had North Carolina as the 4 seed paired up with Nebraska, and so you'll take that. But man, how happy are we that Auburn did not take the 4 seed and that Lincoln Nebraska regional did not stay put? Nebraska, Arkansas, and Liberty. Those three teams, where Arkansas is probably the most popular 2 seed to go and upset the host sites. Auburn and Arkansas back inside Plainsman Park, if this worked out in favor of where they ended up versus what D1 baseball, which is obviously a very big counter topic, but even in where D1 baseball had Auburn. Auburn with host Wake Forest, the Citadel, who is a very, very big sleeper pick with a lot of people to make a little bit of noise, and then North Florida. And then in Hattiesburg, they had Tennessee, TCU, who did not make the tournament, and then Illinois, Chicago. But Auburn in the possible matchup of either Southern Miss or Tennessee.
Yeah, that's a lot scarier for Auburn, and so thank goodness, again, that D1 baseball didn't pick it. Looking at some other teams, they also had Mercer in, but they also... They did give them credit. They said NC State is on the right side of the bubble, but heading to Gainesville instead of Auburn. Looking at who North Carolina was paired up with at that number 4 slot, Arizona State, who close enough, just flip what side of the Super Regional. High Point, which I don't know if they won their conference tournament, and same thing with St. Joseph's, the Red Hawks, but just another example. I mean, again, you got UCLA right. None of the Boston College, Campbell, and San Diego State are not going there. They got the Georgia Tech, Oklahoma right. I mean, good for them. But then other things, Eugene, the number 16 seed in the D1 projections, they again ended up a lot higher. They ended up as the number 11 regional. That's five spaces
it's a
off.
It's a big spot, especially when you're working your way down into one of the lower twos and the top threes. I feel like that's a big jump. All of that, not to dive into what did not happen, but all of that just to kind of put a bow on the conversation that the projections are not everything. And it's what you look at because they are some of the most popular sites in terms of covering college baseball all year long, and we will give them flowers on that side of things. And Jacob and I, as you have, Tripp, have talked very highly about all of those and how we do look at D1 baseball. We do look at Baseball America in terms of throughout the regular season just because of their coverage, because of their usual accuracy just when looking at teams and rankings. But when you're looking at, man, some of these projections and the field of 64 that they had every once in a while, it's just like, man, where did that number come from? And we are very, very happy that the committee has their own conversations instead of what's just going off of what they are indirectly told that they need to do.
Yeah, I think that they, again, D1 Baseball and Baseball America, like, we kind of just did get mad at them, but truthfully, they are good at what they do. They are a great, they cover baseball and collegiate baseball, a sport that is growing so exponentially right now, and they were on the forefronts of that, being one of the first to do so, and I give them a lot of credit for that, and they have, the numbers are right, but it's just the projection of the seeding was not good, and both across the state and across the country took it as gospel, and it's not.
It's simply just not. And how happy are we that how happy are we that the committee went the way that they chose to do? But again, still a lot of room to be done, still a lot of work to be done in the regionals, the super regionals, a chance to go to the Omaha, and a chance to go to the College World Series. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk a little bit of football on the gridiron as Byron Brown says that South Florida transfers are ready to win now, what that looks like, as well as a couple recruits that are making their way to the Plains as well. We'll dive into that before we get with Jacob Hillman coming up next.
This is Amber from Amber and Ian. You're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
Tomorrow's code word must need to be a little bit more complicated because, my goodness, there was a Christmas tree lighting up to the left side of Mr. Trip Upton. But, Mr. Nell, congratulations on your two tickets to go see Argentina and Iceland inside Jordan-Hare Stadium.
He was glad to see Mr. Britton Allen. He did ask the question, what's in Jacob Goins' water cup?
Yeah, so it is, in fact.
Maybe we'll do some trivia. I like the idea. Maybe we'll switch it up, but we will let you know if you want. To be able to, we have so many more tickets to give away.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday, all both on the line, and then all the drive for all the entire week, all of them are giving away a pair. So there's still 14 tickets available. Call in. We will be able to give those away to you. We are so excited for the opportunity to do that. So.
Yes, very, very excited. And again, congratulations, Mr. Nell, for being caller number one. Again, may need to be a little bit more difficult. And, yes, although it is definitely water, whatever is in the cup is probably clear with maybe a pineapple and maybe a little frou-frou umbrella on there as well. If I had to guess, I'm not 100% sure, but
no.
If I did have to guess, and I'm sure he is not cheering on either red or black whatsoever either. But again, we appreciate that. And again, there will still be plenty of opportunities to win your tickets. But again, on Tuesday, June 9th, Auburn becomes host to a different kind of football. We're giving away tickets every single day here on the Line and the Drive through Friday. Two tickets every single day for Argentina taking on Iceland in the path to the 2026 World Cup. Gave two away today. Again, stick in tune for the drive. They're giving away two this afternoon as well and throughout the week. And so really excited to continue to be able to bring that to everybody and make their way to Jordan-Hare Stadium to see something that has not been displayed ever inside such a historic stadium. And we flip over to what's going to be taking place in Jordan-Hare Stadium, but in the fall and also in week two, not week one, but week two inside Jordan-Hare Stadium with a quote that you found that On3 posted about Byron Brown talking about the conferences that he has played for and how it doesn't necessarily matter. Him and the guys, regardless of the conference, are ready to win right now.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it today on X/Twitter, On3 posted a quote from an interview with Byron Brown. And which he basically said, we plan to show that we belong on this level and that we can compete with anybody, no matter what conference it is, the AAC or the SEC.
And I think that that's something that obviously you hear a lot about. And it's like, okay, well, obviously he's saying what needs to be said. By no means in an interview is he going to say, yeah, you know, we're in the middle of a rebuild, and although I'm the star, I don't expect to have too many wins right now. I think that would be very concerning if that was the way that this Auburn team thought about it. But nice to hear that confidence. And, man, I think that the Indiana way of going about things has really changed not only the confidence level but the legitimacy level as well. Because a couple of years ago, a bunch of players that played at the mid-major, the G5 level, making their way up to big boy, if you will, power football from what's been referred to throughout the start of the transfer portal era. Again, we've dove into how that gap has narrowed immensely based off of just what the transfer portal does and what NIL has done to for so many players to go play at that level that are good enough to be playing at these power levels. But I think Indiana has brought a lot of legitimacy with Kurt Cignetti bringing a lot of those guys over from James Madison. It makes it to where, okay, this does show that A, coaching still matters a whole lot, and B, the talent level has dropped so much, and man, being put in the right spots to execute and to have success, Byron Brown feels very confident in his team. in that offense, and I don't think there's anybody that lacks any sort of confidence with DJ Durkin and that defense. And it brings us right to the point of, man, offensive line. Spectre, if you're out there, I hope this will fire you up. Rance Brown commits to the Auburn Tigers. They add another offensive lineman. The 6'6", 290-pounder is the ninth Auburn commit in the 2027 class. He is the third offensive line commit, and Auburn, don't look now, Alex Golish hasn't even won a game at Auburn, yet he has Auburn in the top 25. Maybe not necessarily the top 25 that you think of, but the top 25 when it comes to the updated 24/7 rankings. Auburn sits in that 25th spot, continuing to do all of the things right before even stepping foot on a football field, before getting that win-loss record, which we know controls everything. Yet the conversations that we have had all throughout the spring and will continue to have all throughout the summer, every single box that needs to be checked is being done by Alex Golish and this staff.
Yeah, the 2027 commit, he is from Brentwood, Tennessee, offensive tackle, moving Auburn up for number 2027 on three, the top 22 at the 22nd class. And big commit over Kentucky, Tennessee, UNC, and Virginia Tech all in the mix with that one. And that's just such a big commit right there in the class that they're building from the front back, where they're getting the front lines taken care of and then building back with. Yeah, they're going to make sure that they have solid running backs and good wide receivers and a good quarterback, but it all matters up front because they can't do anything if they're getting hit in the backfield every play. And that's
the thing, we can't speak of that with experience. It's more we're speaking, you know, hypothetically, if Auburn had really good skill guys but a really bad offensive line, they're not going to have success. But that has not been a part of the conversation. That has not been the storyline over the past couple of years. Rance Brown, unanimous three-star listed, depending on where you look, as anywhere kind of in the mid-80s to the upper 70s in terms of the offensive tackle in the country. But again, a unanimous three-star, 6'6", 290, and has been a lifelong Auburn fan as well. I know that in his commitment post, or in his video with Mr. Loy on Rivals, I believe it was, put on the Auburn hat, took it off, and then tried to give the joke of, okay, I'm going to build suspense, but was like, no, never mind, I'm joking. Put on the Auburn hat, said War Eagle, and there's a lot of positive talks when you're looking at Mr. Brown, just because of, A, it's not necessarily a legacy, but it's one of those dream guys of, man, you know he's going to come here and work because this is the place that he's always wanted to end up being.
Yeah, this not some breaking news, but I thought probably this is interesting. I went and looked at his ex and Twitter. His like header picture is a picture of two bears wrestling. So
sure.
I mean, you know what? Heck yeah. But yeah, that's such a big point that he was a lifelong Auburn fan, and you know, he did the little fake. It's not like certain other recruits that I've seen thrown the Auburn hat across the room before committing to a team that got blown out in the first round of the college football playoffs. Cough, cough. But I look at it and I think Rance is gonna be a guy that can come in here and play and be just a big factor in this class. And I love it. I love that it's a guy, it's a loyalty guy. It's like, I want to be at Auburn. I'm not looking for what's Coach Golish is going to give me an NIL. I'm sure that probably was nice to hear about, but I want to run out on the game days in Jordan-Hare Stadium, and I want to be in Auburn, which is just so awesome.
And it feels like you're almost doing something halfway illegal. The fact that Auburn's able to go after and land offensive linemen. I mean,
Gus Malzahn is rolling over in his grave right now.
He's rolling over
in the Lake Martin.
Lake Martin. Yeah. I think he's doing just fine. But yeah, it's just crazy to think about the offensive line, the unit being built. You mentioned it. The foundation has to be built for this offense because it's a little bit easier than there's a little bit more names in terms of the transfer portal if that's the way that you want to work through the skill guys, but I think we've seen a little bit of that with the transfer portal and how it doesn't always work out in that favor. But Alex Golish and Mr. Tyler Hudnick are trying to change things, and they have done a fantastic job of that, at least to date, which is all that you can really ask for. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and our Monday guest at 3:30 is going to join us a little bit later, Tuesday at 3:30. Mr. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joins us next.
halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us on what has turned into a, my goodness, a downpour, at least on our side of town. Yeah. Hard to even look outside the window and see anything. And 20 minutes ago, it didn't look like that. Mr. Jacob Hillman, who usually joins us on Monday at 3:30. No show on Monday, but he was kind enough to maybe sit underneath the golf cart, sit underneath the pavilion, wherever he is, and join us here on the phone lines. My friend, Mr. Hillman, how are you on this Tuesday afternoon? Hopefully all is well in your world. I know things are cranking up in terms of everything with postseason play.
Yeah, absolutely doing well. And yeah, it was good to be up in Hoover for the SEC baseball tournament, and glad that this didn't impact it too much while the Tigers were playing in Hoover.
You just brought all the rain down with you, and we've made jokes all week long about, man, we're in like the record Alabama drought, but then as soon as it's Hoover week, I mean, why not? We needed to have Hoover week once a month, just so that way the rain can wash away everything and everybody gets, the farmers get what they need to, because it doesn't matter what kind of drought you're in. When it's SEC tournament baseball time, there will be rain delays, and you mentioned it. Fortunately, there wasn't one that, I mean, I guess it impacted Auburn in terms of Auburn and Arkansas and Petrovic not being able to continue, but all things could have been worse, and based off of what Auburn was able to get in terms of their overall seed, we don't even remember Hoover anymore.
Exactly, and that's the thing is, one, just on that note, that yeah, it was a great week for Auburn to be able to advance to the semifinals for the first time in a long time at the SEC baseball tournament, and really show and prove to the nation that, hey, it belongs as a number four seed in the NCAA tournament. Obviously, there was a lot of discussion, and we talked about it last week, about that. And I think Auburn could have been one and done and still would have earned that. I just don't think that there's a lot of the committee's not putting a lot into these conference tournaments. But regardless, like I said, it was good to see Auburn kind of continue the momentum that it had been riding through the end of the season, even with the series loss in Georgia. And that led to what was a really solid run in Hoover.
UCF, a familiar foe in NC State, who we saw here last year, and Milwaukee, they get the draw to make their way to Plainsman Park. Talk about your initial reaction when you saw those three other names released on who Auburn is going to play here this weekend at Plainsman Park.
Well, the initial reaction was a little bit of, huh, that's interesting that Auburn gets two of the high major conference teams in its own regional, whereas every other top eight team only had one other high major team in its regional. But when you kind of get into the nitty gritty numbers of it, it actually looks like Auburn, as far as the analytics go, the RPI and everything that goes into it, Auburn got a decently favorable regional. And I think that's something that, again, because of Auburn's strength of schedule, because of everything that has happened this season for Auburn with the run in the SEC tournament, winning six straight series in the SEC, all of that adds to the committee giving Auburn that kind of regional and the fourth regional host in 5 years and second consecutive super regional host if Auburn is to advance out of the Auburn regional. So I think that this is a good setup for Auburn in the aspect that, one, you're familiar with NC State to an extent. Obviously, rosters change year over year, and even more so now than ever, but it is still the same program that it was last year. Obviously, their head coach retiring after this year.
Yeah, I mean, a familiar place inside Plainsman Park. You mentioned a great spot for the Tigers. It's also going to be a great spot for fans. We haven't been able to talk a whole lot about it, but Plainsman Park continuing to make their renovations, adding more seats, adding more in the general admission, adding in the outfield as well over by the first base side. Talk about, man, just what you've seen over the past couple of years. You mentioned four of the last 5 years, how you have seen Plainsman Park grow into what we have seen from a baseball field into the renovations of it now being a crown jewel in the NCAA, and how it is a spot to be to go watch a college baseball game.
It really is something to kind of behold, because you go all the way back to 2022 and 2023, where Auburn hosts its first regionals in over 20 years, or I guess first time since 2010, but first time doing it back-to-back years in over 20 years. And the ballpark since then has evolved just so much. And now you have so many different whether it's premium areas, general admission areas, different things that any fan can enjoy whenever they come to a ball game. And this administration continues to raise the level with additional seating that's not permanent, but they want to see as many Auburn fans in the ballpark as possible this upcoming weekend. I think earlier this season it was 8,000 in the Texas game last year against NC State in the regional clincher. It was 7,800. So looking to top those numbers again this weekend, and you can only do that if you continue to add that kind of seating and make sure there's as many areas as possible for general admission seating. And whether it's on the War Eagle Wall or in the student outfield in the Yeti Yard, wherever it is, it's a great place to watch a ball game, and especially when it's postseason play at Plains and Clark.
We got our guy, Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, usually our Monday 3:30 guest, but here with us on this Tuesday afternoon. And again, we appreciate you for taking the time out of your day. Wanted to ask a question. We've asked a couple of our other guests. We had Lindsey Crosby on a little bit earlier and dove into the strength of schedule and the RPI and how those usually don't complement one another. Usually there's a comma but of, man, this team didn't have a great record, but their strength of schedule is really good, so their RPI needs to be boosted, or they have a great RPI, but their strength of schedule was nothing. We don't know how legitimate they are. Have you ever seen two numbers that complement each other in terms of success when you're looking at this Auburn team? Of, yeah, this team has a fantastic RPI at number three. They also have the toughest schedule in the entire country. You just feel like when you're talking about those two things, by no means whatsoever should they be complementary to each other, but they are, and we feel like that is the reason why Auburn's whole body of work was rewarded for Auburn getting that number four overall seed.
It's hard to recall a specific example in college baseball. I could think of Auburn basketball a year ago when it made the Final Four. That might have been a close comparison.
Sure.
But it really is really cool to see a team rewarded for playing a tough schedule. And I would say specifically a tough non-conference schedule, because, of course, every SEC team is going to play a tough schedule when you get down to it, because you're going to play 10 weekends in the toughest conference in college baseball. But for Auburn to play so many teams in the non-conference that are either in regionals or were on the outside of looking in, or just they were highly ranked earlier in the season, like Nebraska, regional host, Jacksonville State is one of the better teams in mid-major baseball. UAB was knocking on the door as the season came down to the wire. And then you go back to when Auburn was in Arlington, Texas, and facing Florida State and Louisville. Like, those seasons might not have ended the way that they wanted to, but they were testing themselves early on. Cincinnati in the midweek. Remember how everyone felt after Auburn got shut out 8-0 in that midweek against Cincinnati. Yeah. Cincinnati's in the NCAA tournament. So Auburn testing itself, one, helps with its seeding and where it gets placed in the NCAA tournament, but also, I think more importantly, has the Tigers prepared for what they're about to face here in May and then into June later this month.
Jacob, you know, looking not only at with Auburn, but across the SEC with 7 regional hosts and 12 teams make it overall, that 75% of regionals have an SEC team in them. Who do you like across the conference? And like, if you had to, who's your favorite among those?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'll obviously, I think Auburn has a great chance to make a run and do that at a national championship. I look at a sleeper like Arkansas, a team that made it to the SEC conference tournament championship on Sunday, fell to Georgia. I thought they did enough to get a regional host. But again, you look at the fact that it does not seem like those conference tournaments are being weighed at all. I think Arkansas going to a regional like Kansas, which is a smaller ballpark, I think those Razorbacks are going to kind of overrun that place, and they have a great chance at advancing as a 2 seed. But the SEC is so tough. I mean, and what I will say is year over year, it's so different as well. You look at last year, the defending national champions, LSU, not even making it into the postseason. And that's a common trend among the Omaha 8. I think of the 8 teams that made it to Omaha in 2025, only one of them is a regional host this year. That's UCLA, who's the number one overall seed. And then 4 of them missed the postseason altogether. So those are the kinds of things that I think shows how great the SEC is. And overall, the conference is going to have a strong postseason, as it always does in college baseball.
Flipping over to the gridiron as we have Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here with us on the phone lines. And Alex Golish and Tyler Hudnick get another one. Rance Brown, another offensive lineman, 6'6", 290 pounds, a lifelong Tiger fan, commits to the Auburn Tigers, the ninth overall commit for the 2027 class, bumping Auburn into the top 25 almost unanimously regardless of where you look. Talk about, man, what this coaching staff continues to do and how we know that the record will ultimately control the hot and cold button in terms of the love for Coach Alex Golish. But looking at it right now, man, everything that he seems to be doing is in favor of Auburn, and everybody seems to be hopping on board.
Yeah, it's been a really good run of things for this Auburn staff and the recruiting trail and looking ahead to 2027. And actually this week, Talking Tigers podcast with Andy Burcham, Harding Harper III, the executive director of recruiting, yeah, joins Andy, and that's going to be that's a great conversation about the strategy of this staff recruiting, because this is a guy that, one, he grew up in the South and he started his career at Vanderbilt, and then he was with South Florida under Coach Golish this past year. So he's someone that's going to be instrumental in Auburn's classes going forward, and obviously understands what Coach Golish and the rest of the staff is looking for. So all that to say is this summer is critical for Auburn in the aspect of the class of 2027, because a lot of these guys are going to kind of have what they want or be committed where they want maybe before the season. It's weird how this trend has gone over the last few years where guys are committing early, but it'll still be important once you get into the season. Like you said, wins and losses are going to be a huge factor. It's easy to say, hey, look, you can come in and help turn this thing around, but it might be a little bit easier to say, look at the direction we're going, mm-hmm, already took a positive turn, and you can be a part of taking it to the next level. So I think that's a huge factor in it, and obviously just getting guys at the Jordan-Hare Stadium is always a huge deal and a win for these coaching staffs.
Yeah, I mean, how much of a relief would it feel like to be able to say, rather than the recruiting pitch being, we want you to be the one to turn the tide, we want you to be the one to get us going in the right direction, it's we want you to continue to build. We've already taken that right step. We've already taken the first couple of notches. We want you to continue to build. You feel like that's so much more relieving, not only as a fan base to hear, but as a coaching staff and then the recruits as well, because, I mean, we make the joke all the time, but winning cures just about everything in terms of college sports. And if you're able to get those wins, if you're able to meet or exceed the quote unquote expectations in year one at Auburn, it makes things that much easier for the future.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, is the high school recruiting, of course, has changed over the years and everything with NIL and the transfer portal, but it is still a critical factor, because developing those players and turning them into two or three or 4 year players, even if they don't stay the entire time, mm-hmm, they can still be a massive factor for you in their careers and helping you win ball games when it's all said and done. So it's something that I think, especially targeting the Southeast, is something very important. Coach Golish has talked about, especially in the state of Alabama. So I think that's something to also look out for, is how this coaching staff and a lot of this recruiting staff is looking at guys in the region.
We got our good buddy Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here with us on the phone lines. And before we let you go, a sport that you and I are both very much in tune with, whether we love it one day or hate it the other, but Auburn men's golf continues to just excel. A little bit of a scare in Athens for a day or two, but Auburn able to make their way to the national championship, and Koivin, Mr. Jackson, continues to make a name for himself. Man, we've talked all about how it won't be long until there's a legitimate conversation that Mr. Koivin makes his way up onto the Auburn Mount Rushmore and is considered, yeah, one of the absolute greats. Talk about what this Auburn team continues to do, and Jackson Koivin picking up yet another award, one of the very few to do it multiple times.
Yeah, he joins Ludwig Oberg and John Rahm as the only multi-time winners of the Ben Hogan Award.
Are those guys doing okay in life?
I think they are.
Okay.
And obviously that's something that you look at for Jackson as like, all right, that's the direction this guy is going. And he's going to become a multi-time winner of the Haskins Award as well, which is something that only a very small fraternity of golfers have done as well. And that's going to lead all into the national championship, what you said. And yeah, it was a little bit scary in Athens. And speaking of Jackson, he was ill that week, and there were reports of that where he was battling through illness and trying to get through it. And he played all right, but he wasn't his usual self. And someone like Josiah Gilbert, he really stepped up to the plate when he needed to, and helped Auburn get across the finish line, get that qualifier, and advance to the national championship. And that's all that matters, is you got to keep advancing, make those cuts. And once you get to match play in Carlsbad, then who knows what's going to happen. So hopefully at this time next week, we're talking about Auburn in the match play, and hopefully they're advancing on to semifinals by then.
Yeah, won't have too many complaints if we're talking about Auburn men's golf advancing, Auburn baseball advancing, so much going on in terms of postseason. And Jacob Hillman with the Auburn Sports Network has got all of the coverage. Tell everybody what they need to know throughout the week. You mentioned the Talking Tigers podcast, everything that you have going on in your world as we make our way towards the weekend where Plainsman Park is going to be rocking yet again.
Yeah, track and field postseason continues as they'll go to NCAA preliminaries up in Lexington, Kentucky. So looking to qualify for national championships out in Eugene, Oregon. And then the men's golf championship gets started on Friday out at Omni La Costa Resort and Spa. That's in Carlsbad, California. So there'll be some primetime golf that we get to watch over the weekend and throughout next week. And then it's Auburn baseball in the Auburn Regional against Milwaukee. That's a noon first pitch, so 11:45 airtime over on Wings 94.3 FM. And then on Saturday, it'll either be a 2 o'clock first pitch or 7 o'clock first pitch, 7 o'clock first pitch if the Tigers are to advance and win and get into the winner's bracket. So all that coverage this weekend on Wings 94.3 FM, UCF, NC State, the other two teams in the Auburn Regional. And also I want to give a quick shout-out to Auburn Women's Golf. A disappointing finish to their season out in Carlsbad, yeah, but they did make history, most tournament wins in program history this season. Coach Llewellyn continues to deliver with that women's golf program, and that will continue to happen throughout the future. And like you said, Talking Tigers podcast, Harding Harper III, Executive Director of Recruiting for Auburn Football. You can listen to that on the War Eagle Plus Content Network and watch it on War Eagle Plus as well.
The arrows in all sorts of Auburn sports continuing to point up, which gives so much excitement around the plains. Jacob, we appreciate your time as always. We look forward to hopefully recapping and previewing very, very fun next rounds for a lot of these teams coming up next week.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I hope that the rain can hold off for this weekend and you don't have to deal with any updates. But follow at Auburn Baseball, follow at AU Sports Network. There's a great NCAA Regional Central page on AuburnTigers.com. I'll give you all the updates. So looking forward to talking next week. War Eagle, guys.
Good friend, good call, my friend. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. Yeah, hoping that rain holds off. As long as it doesn't look like it does today, then my goodness. I mean, I don't even know where this came from, but I mean, it's dark outside now. We have our lights off in here.
Yeah.
And spooky. it matches what it looks like outside. We'll take a break. We'll come back and very quickly wrap up the Tuesday edition of On the Line right after this.
Hey, this is your resident Super Bowl champ, Chris Candy from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for spending your Tuesday afternoon here with us. And a fantastic show here on this welcome back from Memorial Day. A little sped up week on this Tuesday. A lot to cover and got through a whole lot of it, but really, really excited to be able to break down a lot of what the rest of the week is going to look like. Partner, we mentioned it earlier to start the show. Tomorrow is going to be our full bracket breakdown, our full selection picks and everything for every single regional game. We're going to pick the winners and how many games, who's going to be in the championship game, and basically make it all the way up to a super regional pick. Or then we will pick our winner on that side of things. And then Thursday is going to be our big breakdown of the Auburn Regional. And again, we hyped it up a little bit. We haven't talked too much about it. We want to keep a lot of it under wraps right now, as we have one confirmed, but we're continuing to work to gather a couple more as well of breakdowns for the other three teams in Auburn's region, and some expert analysis. I think that's what it could be listed as throughout the week, but should be a really fun remainder of the week here from 2 to 4 on ESPN 106.7.
Yeah, I'm excited. If you're a college baseball fan, if you're an Auburn fan, if you're a sports fan, you should be right here on ESPN 106.7 listening to On the Line, just point blank.
We gave away two tickets for Argentina and Iceland. The Drive is going to as well, so keep it right here on ESPN 106.7. And we're back 2 to 4 tomorrow afternoon. Trip Upton, and for Mr. Jacob Goins, who's drinking some ice-cold water on a cruise right now, I'm Christian Griffin. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.